So if you look on that picture there, there's a picture of a spider's web, and it's probably similar to something that Lenedra Carroll encountered. She wrote this book, The Architecture of All Abundance. And if you don't know who Lenedra Carroll is, she is the mother of the singer Jewel. So one day she was walking in her garden and she saw something like that, and there's a big spider in the middle. And as she got close to that spider web, I guess maybe the force or her energy of coming kind of shook some of the threads of the web, and the spider scurried out of the center of the web and went to the edges and was about to move into the bushes. At that moment, Carol asked herself, if the spider leaves, or first of all, she asked herself, how does that spider know what's happening? And the answer came to her that the spider doesn't have to know what's happening, but that the spider, because it's connected to the web, can feel the web. So if there's some movement around, it will shake the web. And so the web of life reveals the motion. Then she also thought, well, how does the spider know what to do, where to go, and also how does it stay in the center of knowing what is happening? And the conclusion that she came up with is that the center, your center never leaves you, but your awareness of that center, sometimes you lose awareness. And so our task then is to bring us back to the awareness of our center, the center of our being. And as churchgoers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we hold dear that Jesus is the center. The power of his resurrection is the center of who we are. This past week, when we heard the news of what was happening in Boston, we were tempted to lose our center or lose a sense of that. But we live in this environment of this web of life, this fabric of fate that is interwoven, that is interconnected. But when something like this happens, to shake that web, like the spider, we're tempted to leave or to run or to hide or to camouflage or to build a fortress around us. But because we are Christians, because we believe strongly, we return back to the resurrected Lord, and we return back to the family, to the fabric of faith. In our scripture this morning, there's this story about Tabitha. In the Greek, her name is Dorcas. And Tabitha, or Dorcas, it's an animal. It's like a deer-like, it's like a gazelle that lives at the top of these mountain cliffs, able to avoid danger and predators. But in verse 39, or 36, it says what her character is like. She was hardworking, and she was always involved in acts of charity. So when she had died, the widows brought all the clothes that she had made. She had made tunics and other things. And so she must have been a seamstress of some kind. She was a stitcher, a sewer, a weaver of fabric and clothes, and a gatherer of threads and pieces of cloth. She was an artist, a designer, someone who put things together. You get the sense, though, that she wasn't just about making these clothes or these tunics, but not only did she bring thread and pieces of cloth and fragments and pieces together, but she brought people together in her work. But now she had all of a sudden, unexpectedly, gotten ill and died. Her model of life is pulling and bringing things together to the family, to the community. But what we witnessed this weekend or this past week was kind of the opposite of that. Instead of the constructing and building and weaving, what we witnessed was that these destroyers tried to dismantle the fabric and the web, to injure people, to kill people, to bring terror. They tried to tear apart, they tried to rip to shreds, and they tried to cause harm to the web and the fabric of society. But what these bombers didn't realize is that their acts of violence actually had some good in it, which they didn't intend. In other words, their acts of evil made us stronger. Their acts of evil made people come together or pull together or to get closer or to cling even tighter. Their acts helped people to be sparked in good works and to reach out and to save. There were reports of people running to the explosion. There are reports of people who are giving blood. There are reports of people who were housing, giving shelter. There are reports of people offering prayer. I was listening to the chief of police with Boston, his interview, and he said he was receiving support from so many parts of the United States, from the FBI, from president, other cities. He was receiving report from other parts of our country, even across all over the world. So there was that rebuilding almost, that web of faith that was being rewoven. In the story, Tabitha, in the scripture, is in a sense removed from the fabric because she passed away. But then they call Peter to call him back to stitch her back to the community. Peter, who was at times disconnected from the fabric himself and then reconnected, is called upon to be an instrument to put things back. Apparently, God wasn't ready for Tabitha or Dorcas, and so he called her back to life. She was stitching cloth and garment and people together, and she was supposed to continue and to carry on. So when we think about this story, we say, who is this story for? Is it for her? Is it for Peter? Who is it really for? Was the goal to save her life? Was the goal to help Peter to improve his leadership, his confidence, his courage, and his ministry? Maybe she was so busy that she needed some silence. She needed some stillness. And maybe Peter did need something like this to help boost his work and the disciples. And of course, there's the widows. They needed encouragement too. But all the parts of coming together once again for centering, for strengthening, because as we are knitted together, we're stronger. I kept watching the news over and over again, and in one part of the report, it said this about Tamarian Tsarnaev. He said, "I don't have a single American friend, and I don't understand them," meaning I don't understand America, I don't understand American society, I don't understand American family and fabric. And what caused him, what probably made him do this, was that he wasn't part of that fabric. He was isolated and alone. So Carol was meditating one day, and she felt that Christ was speaking to her, and Christ said that there's a peace that passes understanding, and it's available to everyone. There's an opportunity for each one of you, each one of us, on a personal level, that we can have a profound impact on this world. And the greatest possibilities for global transformation exist within our own individual lives, within the fabric of our individual lives. She said that we can learn to become the prayer and the hope. that we can express them daily in our interaction so that the world can be a more peaceful and loving place. She said that once she committed to this vision of becoming this prayer and this hope of peace, that it changed who she was. It changed her fabric. And she says, from then on, she sought to be in conversation with how to make things better, how to elevate other people, how to lift up other people, to have that awareness, that centeredness, to bring other people, to invite other people, to include other people in the fabric of faith. Who is the story for? Was it for Dorcas? Was it for Peter? Was it for the widows or the disciples? I think the story, the great part of the story is for us, because we are part of that fabric and we can contribute to part of that fabric. So what do? We're about fabric making and fabric building and bringing people into the fabric. So let us make it our job to continue that, to be part of God's stitcher and sower together of this web of life. Amen.